Hello there, you Awakening Wonders on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you download your podcasts. We really appreciate you, our listeners, and want to bring you more content. We will be delivering a podcast every day, 7 days a week. Every single day, you'll get a detailed breakdown of current topics that the mainstream media should be covering. But if they are covering, they're amplifying establishment messages and not telling you the truth. Once a week, we bring you in-depth conversations with guests like Jordan Peterson, RFK Jr., Sam Harris, Vandana Shiva, Gabor Mate, and many more. Now enjoy this episode of Stay Free with Russell Brand. Remember, there's an episode every single day to educate and elevate our consciousness together. Stay free and enjoy the episode.
No, here's the fucking news.
Hello there, you Awakened Wonders. Thanks for joining us on this voyage to truth and freedom. Remember, you can support our content by clicking the link in the description where we make additional content every week, and you can join us for important conversations with people like Bobby Kennedy and Rand Paul and Vandana Shiva, and I'll put your questions directly to them. Okay, so today, Joe Rogan and Kid Rock discussing the Middle East, and there's a point where in the haughty world of mainstream media, it's like, oh, who cares? Kid Rock, that sort of white rapper fella, and Joe Rogan, the podcaster, who cares what either of them think? But one of the things that new media has exposed is that people like Joe Rogan have as much right to discuss political issues as people like Antony Blinken. I mean, have you seen that guy's perspectives? Or Nancy Pelosi just pulling conspiracy theories out of the air and saying them on television? And Jen Psaki, former government messaging person, now MSNBC host, just sort of going, yeah, tell us some more things that you think off the top of your head, Nancy.
What do you think? We're all wondering this question, Speaker Pelosi. What do you think Putin has on him?
I think it's probably financial, either something financial he has on or something on the come.
Never going, hold on a minute. Have you got any proof that there's a financial relationship between Trump and Putin? I mean, haven't we already done this? Will you please stop saying stuff like, how come you've got so much money? Where the bloody hell did you get it from? Now, a conversation between Kid Rock and Joe Rogan. I don't know much about Kid Rock, as a matter of fact, except he's pretty intense. You know, we all saw how he reacted to Budweiser Light employing a, you know, trans person or whatever. He shot up the cans, didn't he? He's a man who shoots from the hip as part of his general method of communication. So on the subject of Middle East, it's hardly surprising that some of his perspectives were, in my view, kind of a little harsh. I mean, he referenced Nagasaki and Hiroshima as sort of positive outcomes at one point, which I found difficult having sort of watched those things. Look, Kid Rock, just watch Oppenheimer. That wasn't good, was it? Yes, it was. It wasn't. It was bad, I think, Kid Rock. Okay, but what's perhaps interesting is that Joe Rogan is a person that the left or the liberal establishment, or let's call it the Democrat Party, sort of sneer about and ridicule on mainstream television. But he's the sort of star or celebrity or whatever you want to call it that would, you'd think, be valuable if what you cared about was an anti-war perspective, individual freedom and sovereignty, tolerance for a variety of views, and being diplomatic about a difficult situation, and actually calling the situation in the Middle East what many people believe it is, a war crime. Let's have a look.
If you lived in Gaza, you would be convinced that it's the end of the world.
Just look at that strap. Kid Rock endorses Israel killing civilians. I mean, like, this can't go on indefinitely, can it? Like, this cultural moment. What's going on at the moment? Well, Kid Rock's endorsing Israel killing civilians. And anything else? No! Isn't that enough?
Right? Because yeah, it is the end of the world in one place. In that spot, it's the end of the world. But where you are, it's not. And you got to look at it that way.
Joe Rogan's actually clearly a really reflective person, saying like the apocalypse spreads like a fog. Some people's apocalypse has already happened, and it's difficult not to imagine that were you an occupant of Gaza living amidst the endless hail of bombs, that indeed it is Armageddon, particularly as it's taking place under the auspices of territorial and religious differences. I mean, I don't really know that there's a more accurate definition of Armageddon available for us, except for, I don't know, that Bruce Willis film. It doesn't seem like an appropriate thing to mention. Kid Rock will probably use it as a reference in a minute, because Kid Rock has got some, what seemed to me, pretty, I mean, he seemed pretty confident in his perspective, let's say. I mean, we're rude about Kid Rock, because perhaps one day I'll meet Kid Rock and I don't want him to shoot me.
And when I look at it that way, I'm
like, the only wars we won were fucking ones we were the most brutal motherfuckers on the planet.
Already, you're getting the idea that Kid Rock's got some strong views. Now, like, I know that there are people in our streams, in our comments, that seem to have similarly, let's call them aggressive perspectives, but I'm pretty certain myself that there will be no resolution in that direction. Like, even when you look at what appears, at least through the lens of history and the propaganda that we read, to have been a sort of cut and dry black and white victory, the victory over Nazism, and anyone would surely agree that Nazism, as most people people understand it, was bad. But I kind of ask questions like, you know, Project Paperclip, the number of Nazi scientists that ended up working in the United States. I mean, even something black and white like that, or, you know, Churchill, one of the greatest, often it's argued the greatest ever Englishman, participated in the annihilation of the people of Dresden. There's so many questions. In a sense, if you're looking for not even utopia, but meaningful, reasonable progress, you don't look back to the Second World War as a sort of golden age. It was a fucking nightmare.
Which I don't disagree with what Israel's doing. It's like,
it's so extraordinary to feel that we're not collectively, with our human capacities, looking for an alternative to what's happening in Gaza, and that there are people that feel that that is the best possible outcome, and indeed will argue vociferously for it, as Kid Rock is doing, as many pundits will do. But I think most of us, if exposed to the atrocities, one time Max Blumenthal came on the show and recounted a story about a 15-year-old Palestinian girl dying in a car, and they have the recording of her first responder phone call, and it just sounds like, well, how much lower can we go as a species? What's left for us?
They should just go in there and be like, you know what? We want our hostages back. If we don't have them back, clock starts now in fucking 24 hours. We're going to start bombing motherfuckers and killing fucking civilians. 30, 40,000 a fucking time.
I suppose what Kid Rock could serve as is to liberals the introduction that Trump is not as far as it's possible to go. Trump now looks like Jimmy Carter, and Joe Rogan looks like James Baldwin.
So you civilians better fucking pack up and fucking get these fucking motherfuckers and you go against Hamas. You fucking go against them. We're not playing fucking games with you. But that's the only thing people understand. This is what happened in Nagasaki and Hiroshima. Boom! Swiped out. They're like, oh.
I would have liked the cutaway of Joe Rogan at the Nagasaki Hiroshima moment, because what Joe Rogan subsequently says is an indication that he found that a difficult image to deal with.
Yes, we don't have Supreme Leader anymore. We did not know you had such big bombs.
Yeah, but everybody has big bombs now.
We can't bring you this content without the support of our partners. And in this instance, it's a very appropriate partner, because you're an awakened wonder and you know that there's every possibility that your communications are being spied on. People are listening in on your private conversations. I say people, I mean government agencies and government-funded private agencies that are used as proxies to crush dissent. You've been watching this show for a while. You know that these Orwellian authorities, although Orwell himself was pretty interested in freedom, are spying on us, and they'll do whatever it takes to control the narrative by controlling our connection. That's why we've partnered with Freedom Chat, a private messaging app that allows us to text who we want without fear of the tyrannical authorities listening into our conversations. This is the app that we trust to keep our data and our conversations private. Freedom Chat has true end-to-end encryption, no storage of messages on their servers, and no commercial use of user data, meaning they won't sell your data for political gain or monetary benefit. With Freedom Chat, you can disable screenshots, deactivate your phone's camera and microphone via the sensors off feature, and you can even prevent other individuals in a chat from saving your image or videos to their device without your explicit permission. Excellent. You know it, and I know it. The establishment is watching us right now and our conversations. Stay free and protect your privacy with Freedom Chat. Go download the app right now by simply scanning the QR code, this QR code that you're looking at, or visit freedomchat.com/brand. Download it. It's brilliant. Let's get back to it.
The problem is, you use a big bomb. You set a precedent that they can use a big bomb.
They don't have one.
Well, they don't, but they're allies too.
Then we that's bomb the real the fuck problem. Out of them. Someone's going to learn.
Yeah,
but you got to get your ass beat hard enough.
You can't just nuclear bomb people.
Look at Joe Rogan, sort of, he's looking up in the air and everything. He's sort of a very beautiful person. Like, he's sort of patience and tolerance, and you can't just nuclear bomb people. Someone's got to fucking learn. The problem with the legacy media is they think that Joe Rogan is Kid Rock, but look at Joe Rogan and look at Kid Rock. Joe Rogan is clearly a kind of, this is not good, is it? This situation in the Middle East. And his impact speaks for itself. The net impact of Joe Rogan is positive, isn't it? That's like someone who's inviting people that wouldn't listen to, they're not listening to Rachel Maddow, the people that listen to this, and they're hearing, yeah, you can't just nuclear bomb people. Yeah, that's why the landscape's changing, actually. That's why Republicans aren't the de facto default party of war, because libertarianism, individualism, and whatever sort of new emergent ideologies are coming out of this new technological space are more sensitive to really important issues like war. And war is becoming, obviously, at a defining issue because it's pervasive and unending.
I didn't say nuke them.
Nuclear bomb you back.
No, I didn't say
okay,
nuke
them. Okay, you said Hiroshima and Nagasaki. I thought you meant it like
no,
that.
No, no.
Because you did seem to say Hiroshima and Nagasaki were good things rather than what most people think, is that they were quite bad things, quite bad things.
Well, I was saying just the brute force of strength okay. used in those
Yeah, but
conflicts.
even a conventional bombing campaign. If you want to do that somewhere, they can do that to your place. And this is what we have to
fuck
avoid.
Fuck around and find out?
Yeah. Because Kid Rock actually has continual recourse to the kind of militarism that I'm sure many people will be dismissive of in the form of a cultural figure like Kid Rock. But it's actually policy in a lot of courses. Like Lindsey Graham, that's what he's saying. Joe Biden, that's what he's saying. Or I mean, at best, oh, it's unfortunate what's going on in the Middle East. No one is as enlightened as Joe Rogan, just looking off into the distance. Like, where does this end? How does this benefit all of us? And Joe Rogan is a continually maligned, several occasions broadly attacked, figure of, in some spaces, and they're relevant spaces, figure of ridicule. And I would sort of invite those people that sort of like have him portrayed on SNL in the manner he was or throughout CNN's coverage of the ivermectin stuff. What do you do with that? You don't want that introduced into the mainstream. Is that something you want to cut off? Like MAGA, Basket of Deplorables, Joe Rogan, people challenging that Hiroshima and Nagasaki were good things. Whoa, 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 we're throwing a lot of stuff out. In this, you get more diplomacy than in the Democratic Party's policy at the moment, and you certainly get more discourse. And you certainly get more open-mindedness. So how dare those institutions be critical, condemnatory, and dismissive of Joe Rogan and what Joe Rogan represents, which is plainly a huge portion of the American population. And after this, thank God, because those people will be hearing, yeah, hang on a minute, you can't just keep bombing everyone and expect it all to kind of just work out. It's being reasoned. It's actually quite soft, quite gentle, reflective, non-confrontational, diplomatic. It's sort of everything you'd want. Not just someone licking a bloody ice cream or Lindsey Graham saying, and bomb, bomb, bomb them. These are mainstream political figures. And I think perhaps something I've not really considered before is one of the symptoms of the emergent independent media space is like people are going, I'd rather have that person as president. Hey, that person's better. Like you start to see that they're not an elite class. Like Boris Johnson wasn't made in a laboratory as far as we know. And that Joe Biden doesn't have a divine right to rule. And the Clintons aren't better and cleverer than everyone else. And all those Ivy League schools and all of those institutions and CNN and MSNBC, they're not cleverer than ordinary people. They're not better. And once you start to challenge those hierarchies, you start to see it quake on a fundamental issue like war, you realize, ah, that's what's happening now. The system is falling apart, new things are emerging, and the people that need it to stay the same are trying to create endless crises to legitimize ever-increasing authoritarianism.
Until someone launches nukes. Yeah, but if you think about you're a kid,
Kid Rock,
and you don't know why there's a conflict between Palestine and Israel,
it's
and you're living
war.
In Palestine, and then they start bombing.
It's
and then
war.
They kill your mom.
It's
yeah, but you didn't do
war.
But right, but you didn't do anything.
It sounds like Bud Light.
And then
you have to let that go at some point.
You get guns, you're going to go want to attack people. You're going to want to avenge them. You're going to want to join whatever group, whatever
so
terrorist group.
So why did World
group.
War II end?
You might not think that that's an earth-shattering observation from Joe Rogan, but if you take a moment to reflect on the consequences of the Afghanistan and Iraq war and how closely they align with his prognosis for this conflict, you start to recognize that it might be valuable to have Antony Blinken or Joe Biden or Nancy Pelosi or Hillary Clinton or any one of these people say, look, the problem is with this ever-escalating tension in the Middle East is that it can't really ever end, can it? Even if you annihilate everybody there, wouldn't that ultimately lead to sympathy and more fracture, fissure and war within the region? And with this conflict between Ukraine and Russia, ultimately, isn't that going to lead to an ever-escalating crisis with a nuclear-armed superstate? And what's the point in provoking China? You don't have to do this for very long. And bearing in mind, this is a conversation between Joe Rogan and Kid Rock, before you start to question the entire geopolitical agenda. And people are doing that on an unprecedented scale. And that is why you've now got a censorship industrial complex. That's why you've got two political parties that basically agree with one another on absolutely everything. And that's why you've got a discontented population that are actually crying out for change, whether it's people on the cultural left or people on cultural right, they're crying out for change. We don't want these institutions posing as democracy anymore, because when it comes to a clear-cut subject like war, it's all they're advocating for. There's no one in the political space saying anything as radical as Joe Rogan. In fact, I don't think there's anyone on MSNBC. See? or CNN saying, isn't this going to escalate endlessly and potentially on that particular issue? I don't know how it all carves up anymore. That's why I have a position of, why don't we not have any wars and always look for an immediate diplomatic solution where possible, and in particular, align with the people that are in an inferior position and lend the might of the global community, in particular the United States nation, towards the trajectory of peace and diplomacy, as Joe Rogan is advocating for there, rather than arming them and having various positions dependent on the conflict. The attitude towards Ukraine is clearly different from the attitude on Israel, and that's a problem because it means there are no values or principles at the heart of it, just an agenda that relates to their long-term objectives, surely.
No, I'm sorry, man. This is fucking war. It's terrible. It's the worst thing on earth. I'm a peaceful man.
Well, I hope so, Kid Rock, but, you know, the Budweiser thing and the Nagasaki thing. Again, I might meet Kid Rock one day, and I look forward to it. Don't be too condemnatory.
Right, but you're not supposed to pick civilian targets. That's actually a
you
war
can't
crime.
Fight war like that.
Joe Rogan, that's actually a war crime, what you've done there. It seems like a more reasoned way to run the country. Isn't this the perfect compromise that everybody wants? Isn't this what the Republican demographic sort of wants? Isn't this what the demographic ultimately wants? I mean, aren't these issues, on the whole, more important than some of the cultural arguments that we're having? We have a media establishment that wants you locked in an unwinnable quarrel about gun ownership and abortions when those subjects will be secondary to Armageddon, which is where both parties are steering us.
Yeah, well, but you're not supposed to
hiding
pick
in civilian targets.
They are.
It will be easy to dismiss this encounter as a chat between a right-wing conspiracy theorist in the form of Kid Rock and eccentric, except that points in this dialogue are an exchange of exactly what you hear from the most hawkish elements in Congress, Nikki Haley, Lindsey Graham, bomb them, almost literal quotes. So in that moment, Kid Rock is a conduit for views that are available to you on mainstream media through members of Congress. And Joe Rogan is demonstrating more diplomacy, sensitivity, and understanding than the most sensitive members of the Democratic Party and advocating for peace in ways that are more articulate than you're likely to hear in your own nation's Congress. Isn't that cause for concern? Isn't that why society is changing? And isn't the inability to accommodate this kind of discourse why we're experiencing so much censorship, so much decay, and so much disarray in our cultural spaces? It's not for no reason that Joe Rogan's become the phenomenon that he has become. We could see it play out live there, sensitive, diplomatic, and considered, at a point where those in positions of power making decisions with your tax dollars and the lives of real people around the world don't have an iota of the sensitivity that we've just seen displayed for a massive audience that the mainstream media are happy to dismiss as a basket of deplorables, as MAGA extremists, as meatheads, as Joe Rogan. They're very dismissive about that. What ought to happen in any sensible culture is that you should see that as a forum where ideas are exchanged in an interesting and meaningful way. And astonishing though it is to say it, we would be better off if Congress took a leaf out of Joe Rogan's book than the reverse. They're the ones pretending they're the adults. They're the ones, Joe Rogan, he doesn't have a tie. I've got a newsroom back there. And people are, well, Joe Rogan might be happy to peddle those conspiracy theories. What? Conspiracy theories like that's a war crime? Conspiracy theories like if you perpetuate a cycle of war, it will ultimately lead to the apocalypse. So whether you think Kid Rock is an eccentric and Joe Rogan's a conspiracy theorist is of course entirely up to you. But the fact is that Kid Rock's views are popular in Congress and indeed are currently literally informing policy. That's what's happening. He's not saying, I wish this should happen. Alas, that is happening. And Joe Rogan is reasoned, seasoned, a good communicator, a good thinker, and a diplomatic envoy. The truth is, we'd probably be better off in the hands of Joe Rogan than we would in the hands of Joe Biden. But that's just what I think. Join us. We want to have important conversations. We make additional content for you every week. Join us for that. In the meantime, if you can, stay free.
No, here's the fucking news.